broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And I do apologize if you've been with us from the very beginning tonight. We got thrown a little bit of a curveball. We had a technical problem that we were able to sort out within the first 20 minutes. And the show just sort of catapulted and somersaulted along after that, bud.
Yeah, Mr. Bell, he's threatening to sue.
You know what? Do I care?
Why wouldn't you care?
Do I look like I care whether Ted Bell wants to sue me? Do I look like I care whether that guy who called the show tonight threatened to sue him for a stupid reason?
Yeah, see that? How can you say that stupid? That guy called a cocktail friend.
Yeah, that's slander, or however they say it.
No, it ain't slander. You know, slander doesn't cover just regular insults. And to say a guy, yeah, why don't you go home and play with your cocktail, Frank? I mean, give me a break. But the problem with Ted is, you know, when that guy called up and threatened to sue him, then Ted turns that into a big rigmarole. And the next thing you know, we got now we got competing lawsuits. That guy, Ted's going to sue him?
Yeah, you want to know the guy's name and say you got to sue him for saying, he said you got to sue him for calling up saying the guy said cocktail, Frank.
Well, what's so funny?
Are you nuts? What's so funny? First of all, Ted's problem with the guy was that the guy ate too many hot dogs. Now, Ted Bell ought to know better. If he puts a sign that says all you can eat, and it's in a bar, and it's a Monday night, and it's even if it's a preseason football game, there's plenty of guys going to go in and want to watch the preseason game. Now you got all you can eat. Now it turns out he's not serious about all you can eat, and he's keeping some dude, some big construction guy, from going back and getting his ninth hot dog. If you said all you can eat, then that's what you mean.
Yeah, but that's a figure of speech.
What do you mean a figure of speech, man?
What do you mean a figure of speech? If the guy said it, he means it.
Do you think a stop sign is a figure of speech?
Well, that's the legal definition.
But do yourself a big favor and just clam up for 5 seconds, okay? The legal definition. If a guy says all you can eat, it means all you can eat. This guy goes in to get a hot dog. He has an extra hot dog or two or three, and there's Ted ready to get into it with the guy. Hey, man, you're eating too many hot dogs. And then he insults the guy by telling him to go home and play with his cocktail, Frank.
Yeah, well, that guy was pretty stupid, though.
Yeah, he had to go to a supermarket and get the definition.
Well, there you go. I mean, birds of a feather flock together, man. You know?
What?
Birds of a feather flock. You never heard that? In any event, that guy was such an idiot, he had to go to the supermarket and ask to see a cocktail, Frank, and when they showed it to him, and that was weeks later, right?
Yeah, it took him like 3 weeks to get around to it.
I'm telling you, those two guys are made for each other. Ted Bell and that dude, Austin Amarca, they're made for each other. Well, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. All kinds of news, and not any of it the least bit interesting. Not the least bit interesting. Do you really want to hear about how job growth has stalled again? Do you want to hear that? Do you want to hear about that, huh? Do you want to worry about that? Do you want to obsess over that? Do you want to flip out and freak out and all that other out? U.S. employment growth ground to a halt in August. Since when was there any employment growth? There hasn't been any good news, and by that I mean, I'm not saying that President Obama hasn't had good news. I'm saying that not only has he not had good news, but even if he had good news, there'd be somebody saying it was bad news. For the first time in nearly a year, the economy failed to create new jobs on a net basis, according to the Labor Department's monthly non-farm payroll survey on Friday. Let me give you the bottom line on all of this. I can give you numbers. Let me give you the bottom line. The bottom line is as follows. It's impossible, ladies and gentlemen, to go through the kind of economic contraction that the government that our country's going through without it hurting. It's impossible. It's impossible. We've been wanting it not to hurt. We try to come up with this job plan and that job plan. We try to come up with this way to bail it out that way. It's impossible for these things not to hurt. It's got to hurt. Otherwise, it's not a recession. Otherwise, it's just this weird bunch of graphs. It's not affecting me. Do you still have a job? Oh, yeah. Well, then I guess it doesn't mean anything. It's a bunch of charts, right? Yes. I don't want this recession to hurt. It's going to hurt. And we talk a lot about jobs and stuff, and this is coming from a guy. I'm telling you right now, this is coming from a guy, Phil Hendry, who had to, in this recession that for me began back in 2007, I had to start my own business. I had to hire my own people. I had to do my own merchandising. I've had to do a lot of things. This is how it's changed my life. And if you think that, I don't know what it's like to be out of a job, as I said on the show a number of times, I've been in the unemployment line plenty of times. I've been in the unemployment line probably more than a lot of people because I've simply lived longer. So I don't need any lectures from anybody on anything when it comes to being hungry, when it comes to being out of a job, when it comes to having to retool, when it comes to having to adapt, when it comes to having to, find a new way to do business. I've had to do the whole thing. Now, you either do it or you sit there and you make a full-time job out of bitching and moaning about it. And that's what a lot of people are doing. They're making a full-time job out of it. It's like an 8-hour day job for some people to bitch and moan about what's going on with the country and the economy. They're called talk show hosts. Ah!
I knew you were going to say that.
Well... Economists had expected non-farm employment to rise 75,000 last month, but they cautioned against viewing the data as a surefire sign of recession, blah, 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 worsening debt crisis in Europe, and acrimonious political fight over the U.S. government budget and debt. How long do you want to put up with the acrimonious political fight? How long do you want to be manipulated by, dare I say, a-holes? How long do you want that to happen? Huh? How long do you want to keep on keeping on with whatever silly little thing it is? And forgive me for saying this, whatever silly little thing. I read the tweets of a very popular conservative radio station here on the West Coast. They're on Twitter. Every single solitary thing they tweet has to do with how Obama's a piece of crap and how, this, that. The language, it isn't so much they don't like Obama. I understand people don't like Obama. That's fine. But the language is so explosive that these bloodsuckers now want people to become so emotionally upset that they are addicted to the next piece of information that they get from this particular radio station. And they're all over the country, these stations. So they begin to characterize him not just in terms of his policies are bad, but he himself is a bad person. Now that is over the line. I don't give a damn what anybody thinks they know. That's well over the line. That hurts the country. If you don't like what the guy does, if you don't like his policies, that's fine. But when you start, when that's not enough for somebody, when they got to turn around and say, and he's a bad guy, and he's just, he's a this and he's a that. That Michelle Malkin, she's the number one criminal when it comes to that. That's right. You heard me say it, man. She can't sell a book. She can't get her face on a TV show. She can't get her ass out there for love or for money unless she is, crucifying this guy in the worst possible terms. Folks, we're going to have political differences, but this country and this particular generation of Americans is such a bunch of simple-minded bastards. All we know how to do is panic. That's the number one product of this generation. We panic our asses off. Oh, my God. Look what he's doing now. And it's all going to be hunky-dory, huh, if we stick a Republican in there in 2012? I got big fat news for you. No, it ain't. Because the problem with the country is beyond Republican or Democrat. It has to do with the actual stuff that the American people are made of.
Man, you ought to run for president yourself, man.
Yeah.
Are you nuts?
No, stuff you're saying is good. The people need to hear about it.
Yeah, I would be your campaign manager. I mean, I'm probably not the best thing.
No.
Yeah, do it, because got people not say, to say the stuff what you say.
No, I ain't going to run for president. Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? And I have more respect for the office than a lot of people. I wouldn't run for president, not because it's beneath me, but because I ain't good enough for it. The office of the president is not a job that we should look at as being a job for a crook. You know, and that's the other thing. Some people think so highly of them. Oh, I wouldn't run for president. Why is that? I'm too honest. Oh, are you really? Employment was dampened by 45,000 striking workers at Verizon. I mean, it's a depression. If you want to call it something, it's a depression without the breadlines. It's a bad economic situation. Is there a way that we can get ourselves up and out of this without going to war, for instance? As if you want to make the comparison between this and the World War II and the Great Depression. And the fact of the matter is, yeah, you don't have to go through a freaking war to get yourself out of economic bad times. It's cyclical more than anything else. It's people finally loosening the money up and saying, you know, I'm tired of sitting on my ass and doing nothing. Let's go out and start to spend this money we got, and let's start building something. It happens from the top down. And I don't mean government down. I mean the top down. Because right now what they're doing is holding on to their money. All the guys that could start businesses, could employ people, could get industries revved up again, they don't want to because they're unsure of the climate out there. They're unsure of the economic times, whether or not they're going to be making a wise investment right now. Sooner or later, the money will loosen up because these guys, the one thing they don't like is sitting on their ass doing nothing. And one guy does it, then another guy does it. And that's just the way it's going to have to be. And they're, and you know, whatever it is these governments are trying to do with the debt in Europe, that will also be solved by more people working, tax base, producing, etc. But right now, everybody is sucking their thumb. Sucking their thumbs!
Better than some things.
Is that right?
What are you talking about, man? You trying to be smart again?
Just never mind. Sitting on the sidelines, sucking their thumb. Everybody. And if we're not sucking our thumbs, we're throwing a temper tantrum. There you go. That's America. That's the world that we're in right now. And the last thing that I'm going to trust is any jackass telling me that he's a liberal or a conservative or he has all the answers and all we got to do is get rid of Barack Obama, George Bush, Republicans, Tea Party, liberals, progressives. Anybody that starts talking that crap to me, man, they can take a walk. Goodbye. All right, we're going to be back with information. Now, here's some, you talk about the whether or not the economy's up or down. What about Billy Joe's pants, man? That's right, the lead singer of Green Day. Now, I bet you could track something economically with this guy's pants. We'll be back to talk about it and more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. For patriots, by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And online at philhenryshow.com. If you get a backstage pass, you can watch our live streaming video of the show. As a matter of fact, if you'd been watching our live streaming video of the show this evening, you would have seen a panic mode. You would have seen not just a panic mode, you would have seen people suddenly go, wait a second, we have a problem, and then fix the problem as we worked through it. It was a regular, it was a veritable Apollo 13 here, bud.
Yeah, without the guys, you know, gonna blow up or nothing.
No, we weren't gonna blow up, but we got the problem fixed, and you would have seen that, as well as all of the other falderall that happens here behind the scenes on the Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL, and of course, if you go to our website, you will see the picture on our homepage, one that I'm showing to our subscribers right now. That is the logo of our show, one of our show logos, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, broadcasting from the El Pacifico. And get a backstage pass, and you will watch live streaming video. You'll have access to our archives, access to our podcasts, access to our classic Phil podcast, access to our news feed, access to our webisodes, access to our rants. There's a lot of stuff happening at philhenryshow.com. Green Day frontman Billy Joe Armstrong says his sagging pants cost him a seat on a Southwest Airlines flight. Well, that means we'd have to believe you now, Billy Joe, wouldn't we? Let's find out here. The singer-guitarist for the San Francisco Bay Area-based band, sent a message to his Twitter followers on Thursday. That always gives people on the other side of the argument a chance to, you know, even the playing field. Hi, I'm Billy Joel. Billy Joel, and I got 9 million followers, and here's what happened.
Did Billy Joel?
Billy Joe. I misspoke. Anyway, he sent a message to his Twitter followers on Thursday expressing his indignation at being tossed from an Oakland to Burbank flight for wearing his trousers too low. An ABC 7 News producer who was on the same flight told the station that a flight attendant approached Armstrong before takeoff and asked him to hike his pants higher. The producer, Cindy Q, says when Armstrong insisted he was just trying to get to his seat, he and a traveling companion were taken off the plane. Southwest spokesman Brad Hawkins says in a statement that Armstrong was allowed to board the next flight. What's missing from that story?
What do you mean?
What's missing from the story? Green Day singer Billy Joe was taken off the plane because, first of all, he was approached. The singer guitarist, according to a ABC 7 news producer, and when I say ABC 7, that would be a San Francisco Channel 7 news producer who was there. So we're getting all the information from her and from Billy Joe. And Cindy Q says, when Armstrong insisted he was just trying... Wait a second. Could you please pull your pants higher? I'm just trying to get to my seat. He and the companion were taken off the plane. What's missing?
There's a whole lot of information in between.
Exactly. When a flight attendant says to you, could you pull your pants up? Excuse me, I'm just trying to get to my seat. And then you're taken off the plane. There's a whole lot of information that's missing. And news producer Cindy Q of ABC 7, she ain't helping because she as sure as hell isn't telling us anything, is she? I think she just wants to get free tickets to the next Green Day show.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, she wants to get in time with Billy Joel.
Yeah, probably wants to be one of his bitches or something.
You don't know that's the case. Be one of his bitches. So he and a traveling companion were taken off the plane. And then he went and he tweeted his indignation. All right, so he was taken off the plane. Why? According to who? Well, he says his sagging pants. Now, he was asked to pull his pants up. He said he was just trying... Notice he didn't say no. He says he was just trying to get to his seat. And then they said, get off the plane. Here's what I think happened, and why they won't tell you this, I don't know why. I think it's because Cindy Q is trying to be one of his bitches.
You said she would.
I'm kidding. All right, so anyway... Here's what happened. Could you pull your pants up? No. Okay, get off the plane. I'm pissed off. I'm going to tweet it. That's what happened. Why can't they just say that?
Well, I mean, isn't that what they said?
No, they didn't say that. It says here, according to ABC News 7, that the guy was told to pull his pants up, and he said he was just trying to get to his seat. That's according to Cindy Q. He and a traveling companion, he insisted he was just trying to get... In other words, would you please take your... Pull your pants up? No, no, no. I'm trying to get to my seat. That doesn't even have there's no logical connection between those two things. So, this guy's a liar. Cindy Q from Channel 7 is a liar. And I'll even go ahead and say that the airline, Southwest Airlines, a pain in the ass, too. I think all of you ought to grow up. How do you feel about that one? Fact of the matter is, the fashion statement of various generations has always been a point of controversy going all the way back. Well, when I was a kid, it was long hair and clothes, and they were always trying to get you to not do that and don't wear that and don't be that. Okay. And they're going to continue to do the same thing now. And airlines have the right to serve whoever they want to serve, just like restaurants do. And if they don't want to serve you, they don't have to serve your ass. I think it's something to be said for Billy Joe that he was taking Southwest, which means he's not exactly rolling in the bucks, or he doesn't want to look like he's rolling in the bucks. He took a Southwest airline flight, and then he holds up everybody with his pants hanging down around his ass.
Yeah, well, you don't know if that's the case. You don't even know if his pants was hanging down.
I don't know whether it's true or not. You're right. But nonetheless, there's information missing here, so I got to fill it up. And I fill in the blanks with the most logical possible thing. And the most logical possible thing is, would you pull your pants up? No, I will not. You're kicked off our flight. He took a later flight. Did he pull his pants up? It says he was allowed to board the next flight. Well, then he got kicked off the flight, he pulled his pants up, got on the next flight, and then flew back to wherever the hell it was he was going, and then he got on Twitter and got pissed off that he had to pull his pants up. Thank God it was just that, Billy. It's a good thing nobody said to you, would you mind wiping the next time you use the toilet, too? Well, no, I insisted I... Okay, I gotta throw you off another plane. World-famous Phil Henry Show will be back.
Phil Henry. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show. All right, what else? Earlier, we started out the show talking to, I forget the name of that program director, Bud. Do you?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Anyway, he was a program director from Minnesota, and maybe he had a name that I'd rather forget. Anyway, he was talking to us about, you know, his needs for his radio station. And how he's got all these great conservative or political shows. And I said to him at the time, I said, just because you're lazy or cheap, you can't hire local hosts or you don't look for any other kind of radio, because what's being offered you in the syndicated world is garbage. Basically, it is, folks, with the exception of Rush. And I guess a lot of you like Sean. Okay, that's fine. Or whatever else. It's crap.
Well, I mean, how come there's so many people that listen to it?
Really? How many people are listening to it? As opposed to what they might be listening to if there was something else to offer them. And if there's so many people listening to it, folks, you know, you can be sold a bill of goods. And if you want to buy the bill of goods and you think it's for real, you go right ahead. Have at it. Be my guest. The fact of the matter is, conservative radio doesn't pull, other than Rush Limbaugh and maybe one or two other people, it doesn't pull a big audience at all. But you're being told that it does. This is why you're being force-fed these shows. This is lazy. You know. But I'm not going to get any inside baseball, man, because, you know, what's the point? You know, what we do on our show is what we do on our show. We tell the truth, man. We say truth is our bitch. I ain't going to sit here and lie to you. I'm not going to pretend I'm something I'm not. Which is what it's like. I did an interview with Kevin Pollak on his... chat show, which is on the web, and I said, if there's one thing that I hate, it's talk radio. I hate it. I love radio, love doing radio, but talk radio, one of the reasons why I hate it is because it isn't real. It isn't real, and now, because the people that do it are so bloody stupid, now it's hurting the country in a lot of ways. When you, as I was saying, when you go from saying Obama's policies suck to Obama himself is a crook, a criminal, these kinds of characterizations, you are doing something that is not only hurting the country, it's hastening the country down the road to a real civil divide. You know what I'm talking about. If that's what you want. People are in this country, I've never seen so many self-righteous, sanctimonious jackasses in my life as these people, either they're progressive or Tea Party. These people think they got the answer, huh? You got the answer to nothing, man. And when I take a look at somebody like me, you want to know why people laugh at Michelle Bachmann? She's an example. She's a perfect example of that sort of marvelous, blissed out stupidity that exists on either end of the political spectrum. People so stupid, it's a crime. And my God, we're going to run them for president? President! You take a look at poor Michelle Bachmann. I feel sorry for the lady. She's got more problems than anybody I've ever seen in my life. She got the migraine headaches, the husband who's in the closet. She has, it's proven she's got a problem telling the truth. She makes stuff up. Tim Pawlenty told her that during that debate. He said, you know, it's well known that you just make things up. And she does. She just makes it up, man. I never said that. Yes, you did. You want us to bust out the videotape? Do we have to do that? Follow you around with a videotape machine? Now, I don't want to lean on Michelle Bachmann because she's not going to get elected president of the United States. She won't get nominated by the Republican Party. She won't even make it to the convention as a front runner. But the fact that she has all of this early heat, she's got all of this early momentum, means that, boy, they're fresh out of ideas over there. Now we come to our president, a guy that I voted for. I think he's a good man. I think events have overtaken him. I think the creative and outside the box thinking that he said he wanted to entertain and to bring to Washington has either failed him or he's failed it. There just isn't any. And one of the problems that we're having in America today, folks, is that we don't have any real statesmen. If you look back at the history of our country, every generation you can point out people. Well, we used to talk about Ted Kennedy. All right, if you want. Barry Goldwater. Going back even further, these statesmen, these people that stood tall. Sam Rayburn. You know. And in the 19th century, the Stephen Douglases and so forth. So these are. I had a weird dream last night about Henry Clay. That was weird, but I was dreaming about Henry Clay, and I was arguing with someone, and I said, well, Henry Clay was a great American, but the fact of the matter is his ideas sucked, and so did he, and, he, you know, goodbye, Henry Clay. And I know most of you guys don't even know what the hell it is I'm talking about. Well, the point here is, where are the giants? There are none. Why? Well, I'll tell you why, because there's no guts. All the guts is over in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's where all of America's guts are. Those young men and those young women. Those are the best people we got. And they're thousands of miles from this place called America. No guts. Nobody wants to stand out front and center and say this is wrong. No one on the left wants to turn around and look at people in their party and their particular faction and say, you know, you people are really, you got your head up your ass. And nobody on the right wants to do that. They don't want to look back at their people and say, you know something, we got to be kidding with some of the stuff we're pitching. There's no guts. No courage. And so that's why we're at this impasse. Now, things get shaken loose. You're right. And you don't want to have something violent shaking it loose. If you have stupid people sending you down the road of civil strife with things like, you know, Obama is he's a low-moraled, unprincipled, you know, this kind of hateful talk, which is based in nothing. Nothing. And the same thing on the other side. When they had the fangs on John McCain. You remember. That takes us down a path that leads to nothing but pain for the country. And I'm talking about more than just arguing. Now, the reason why we do it is because there isn't anybody in this country that reads history, so we don't know that these are the things that cause these problems, and so we do them again, and like the idiots that we are, and guess what? So, I mean, I'm giving you the truth, you know? Now, you may want to hear all that happy bullcrap that the rest of those clowns talk about. Man, I'm not into that at all. You may want to have your feelings soothed with a lot of anti-Obama talk, or you may want to have your feelings soothed with a lot of anti-Republican, anti-fascist pig talk, but I ain't about that because that's horse dung. Even the people that spill that stuff know they're lying. Oh, they know that maybe it's some kind of a soma, you know, that the audience out there in Radio Land, they'll suck on that long enough and it'll put them to sleep. Are we going to do that here? So, that's the state that we're in right now, all right? And if you think that talk radio is going to solve some problem by telling you the truth, do yourself a favor. Take it from Phil. You ain't getting any truth here. You get it from me. But I'm not a Tea Party guy, and I ain't a progressive. I'm me, you know? You're going to flip on the radio and listen to somebody's jive ass trying to, you think you're getting the truth from them? Come on. Anyway, that's where my my industry is right now. So our show, doing what we do, which is a satirization, which is a theatrical presentation, which is, you know, I don't know what we want to call it, bud.
Yeah, it's like being in a movie theater.
Being in a movie theater, well, you know.
Not a movie theater, but like a live theater.
Right. Our show is, we took it out to the weird edge of things because, man, there was nowhere else to go. I ain't going to do what those guys are doing, so we are like out on the weird edge. A 24-year-old Cincinnati father died from a tooth infection. Where the hell did you get this?
There's a story here. Look at this. Guy had a toothache and he croaked. Yeah, man, you gotta brush your teeth.
What do you mean, brush your teeth?
You don't brush your teeth, look what happened.
This is more than brushing his teeth. This guy had a tooth infection. He died from a tooth infection this week because he couldn't afford his medication, offering a sobering reminder of the importance of oral health and the number of people that access the dental or health care. Oh, really? According to NBC affiliate WLWT, Kyle Willis's wisdom tooth started hurting 2 weeks ago. When dentists told him it needed to be pulled, he decided to forgo the procedure because he was unemployed and had no health insurance. When his face started swelling and his head began to ache, Willis went to the emergency room where he received prescription for antibiotics and pain medications. Willis couldn't afford both, so he chose the pain medications. The tooth infection spread, causing his brain to swell. He died Tuesday. Calls to Willis's family were not immediately returned. University Hospital in Cincinnati, where Willis was admitted, did not comment, citing federal privacy laws. Well, here's another one of these stories, and I'm not getting all the information. This is a story that was written for a specific reason. And the reason is the importance of oral... Oh, listen to this. A sobering reminder of the importance of oral health and the number of people that access to dental or health care. The importance of oral health. The guy had a wisdom tooth that had to come out. This got nothing to do with brushing your teeth. Just has to do with going to the dentist. Now, how does he know he had a wisdom tooth that had to come out? Because he went to the dentist. The dentist told him. Willis's story is not unique. In 2007, 12-year-old Damont Driver also died when a tooth infection spread to his brain. The Maryland boy underwent two operations and 6 weeks of hospital care, totaling $250,000. Doctor said a routine $80 tooth extraction could have saved his life. His family was uninsured and had recently lost its Medicaid benefits, keeping DeMont from having dental surgery. Well, then how did they get the $250,000 to have the dental? You know, look, I understand that health insurance is expensive. Sooner or later, though, you're going to the hospital and you're getting treatment. This boy had $250,000 worth of surgery and health care. Okay, now, what are you telling me? Getting access to dental care is particularly tough for low-income adults and children. It's getting tougher as the economy worsens. In April, the Kaiser Family Foundation reported 33% of people surveyed skipped dental care or dental checkups because they couldn't afford them. A 2003 report by the U.S. Surgeon General found that 108 million Americans had no dental insurance, nearly 2.5 million, or 2.5 times the number who had no health insurance. Trips to the dentist aren't the only expenses hard-up Americans are skipping, and a bunch of other bad news. I don't want to be a jackass, but the guy went to the dentist.
Yeah.
Okay. He went to the dentist, right?
Yeah.
All right. He went to the dentist, and he got x-rays.
Yeah.
Well, what did he go to the dentist for?
Because he had to have a checkup.
All right. So he goes to the dentist, and he gets a checkup. That's got to be paid for, right?
Well, yeah, but not as much as a tooth extraction.
Well, wait a minute, man. He's getting x-rays. He's getting an exam. This costs money. It's not cheap. Is he paying that out of pocket?
I guess, yeah.
And then comes the wisdom tooth surgery, and suddenly it's too expensive. So he decides he won't get the surgery. This is what I'm led to believe.
But yeah, that's what they're saying. He went to the dentist, and they said he got to have wisdom teeth out.
He went to the dentist. He had the money for the dentist. He had the money for the x-rays. He had the money for this visit. Now he's not going to get the surgery. because he can't afford it. Instead, he just lets it go. Are we talking not only are we talking the fact the man's not rich enough to have the surgery? Is he mentally deficient?
What do you mean?
Well, what do you think I mean? You're told you got to have wisdom teeth out. You went to the dentist, you got that. Now the guy says, wow, man, my head hurts, my face swells, but I can't afford to get the thing. I can't afford to have the surgery. Now the head, this guy is in deeper trouble. Now he goes to the hospital to get antibiotics. He's given antibiotics and whatever else they said, anti-swelling medication, which I'm sure someone somewhere is going to blame the hospital because they didn't take his damn tooth out. He couldn't afford both, so he chose the pain medication. I'm telling you, the news, when you get the news, you got to look into it because you don't get the whole story. And there's something wrong with this story. Once again, there's something I'm not being told. And you know what else I think is involved here?
What?
I think this guy's, I think there are a lot of guys, I know who they are too, that are afraid of the dentist.
No, a man, he's not going to let himself die.
He's not going to let himself die, huh? If you had a wisdom tooth that was about ready to blow your freaking head off of your shoulders, are you going to go to a dentist and say, I got to get this wisdom tooth out. I am in agony. I am in pain. Please, somebody help me. Would you please do that? What was the hospital told? What did the hospital x-ray? What did he say it's just a toothache? Did they examine him? A million and one things that we haven't been told, but this story was written by ABC News, and there's only one way to read this story. ABC News says this is because he didn't have health insurance. So the fact that he was neglectful is because he didn't have health insurance. The fact that he put off visits to the doctor is because he didn't have health insurance. The fact that he waited until the thing got infected and almost exploded his head, that's because he doesn't have health insurance. The fact that he went to the dentist, he had it examined, he had it diagnosed, he had x-rays taken, that's because he doesn't have health insurance? All right, we'll be back at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. So let's see. We have the NAB that's going to be coming up. I would love to sit there in front of all those guys at the NAB and just tell them to take their freaking NAB and stick it.
Man, you all you're going to try to do is get people pissed off at you.
Well, what's wrong with that?
You got to go there and make friends with people.
Oh yeah, that's been a real big winner for me. Make friends with people, huh?
You do, man. You gotta play the game.
You do, man. You gotta play the game. You gotta get along with people, you know. You go up there and tell them to stick it. Man, they run you out of town on a rail.
Run me out of town on a rail? What difference does it make? I mean, haven't you always wanted to? There's that cartoon, and I love it. It's the most fantastic cartoon I think I've ever seen. I think it's the funniest cartoon I've ever seen. There's a guy standing on another guy's desk. And he is urinating on the guy behind the desk.
Oh, I know this one.
Yeah.
You know the one?
Yeah, I think so.
He's standing on the desk, and he's urinating all over the guy sitting at the desk. And the guy sitting at the desk looks up at him, and he says, I take it you won the lottery, Johnson. Meaning, obviously, the guy has all this money, and he has just hit it big, and he doesn't need this job anymore, you know. Well, of course, that's the fantasy that a lot of people have, and people, you shouldn't have that fantasy. You should really love what you do. Well, I love what I do. I love doing radio. I love it. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. But like the guy in the war movie who hates officers, you know, pick a war movie, any war movie, I hate officers too. But here's the thing. You guys are right about one thing. I ain't going to be the schmuck that carries the banner anymore.
You see, that's the problem. You've been all trying to be all, yeah, the radio business, we got to save it. Who cares?
You're right about that, bud. You're right. I'll tell you one thing, man. You have been right about that all along. You know, you were the guy that said to me, what am I sticking my neck out for? And you're absolutely right. I ain't going to stick my neck out for nobody anymore, man. Just me, you, and Baby Makes Three.
Yeah. And, man, you go down there and tell those guys to stick it. Man, they don't want to hear that. That's for sure. And you damn sure better not say anything to one guy about how he listens to your podcast.
No, I'm not gonna say anything to him. I'm not going to say anything to him.
But you keep bringing it up.
I won't say a word, okay?
Yeah, you said you saw that guy's picture?
I saw his picture, man. I was on the NAB site, and I was looking at all of the, you know, the principals and the different panels they're going to have, and I saw that guy's picture. I go, there's that guy.
Yeah, you can't say nothing to him. Just go back there, do the best you can.
Yeah, bring back a lot of them little tiny bottles of booze.
Bring back the tiny bottles of booze from the airplane?
No, from the minibar. It's the only thing you can do. You want to do me a favor? Want to do him a favor? Want to do yourself a favor? Bring me a little bottle of booze.
Yeah.
All right. I'll do it. See you guys on Monday. Tomorrow night is our KFI show right here. The Phil Henry Show. Watch us on Phil TV in HD at philhenryshow.com. And, of course, our marvelous radio network across the country. Check us out again starting Monday night. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Phil Henry, Dan Northcraft, Fred Scotty, Chris Johnson. Until then.
See you then.
See you then.
Phil Henry.